Let us pray. May the words that I speak and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it's Pentecost Sunday, the day we celebrate the birthday of the church. The Easter season has come to a close. The paraments are now red rather than white. Happy birthday, church. Come on, happy birthday, church. Good. As we heard from our first reading this morning, more power to you, Nancy. That was a hard one to get through, and you did well. The promised Spirit of God is poured out on Jesus' anxious and confused and timid disciples on Pentecost, and they are transformed. So we wear red on Pentecost Sunday. We wear red to remind us of the tongues of fire that rested on each one of those followers of Jesus who had gathered to take comfort and to feel safe with one another. The tongues of fire that symbolize the fire of the Holy Spirit's transformative power. But let me warn you, if marking the birthday of the church is for us today only about looking backwards and retelling the story of the transformation of Jesus' followers by this mysterious power of the Holy Spirit, if it's only about taking the occasion to wear red like we do on Reformation and feel festive, if it's only about praying for the reader who has to get through that first lesson, then we've missed the whole point of Pentecost. Because Pentecost Sunday should also be a jumping off point for us as well. A red letter day that encourages us to take great gulping leaps of faith, emboldened, excited, inspired by the Spirit of God that is also poured out upon all flesh, and that includes you and me. Pentecost is the day when Peter, denying Jesus three times over in one night, Peter finds his mojo. Yes, that Peter stands up, raises his voice, and preaches the sermon of his life. No, we aren't drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning, he preaches. We're bursting with joy. We're powered up with the fire of God's Holy Spirit in us. We aren't hiding out. We're not huddled away. We're not fearing for our lives anymore. No. We're mysteriously on the move, marvelously able to be understood by people coming to Jerusalem to celebrate the harvest festival from every region of the known world. And how is this possible? Well, not sure exactly, but I can tell you that it's just what the prophet Joel spoke about when he foretold of a time when the Lord will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. You'll notice in our Celebrate folder, if you look at it when you take it home, that a suggested alternate first lesson is the lesson from Genesis 11, 1-9, the story of the Tower of Babel, or Babel. Which do you prefer to say? Babel, right? How many of you remember that story? Do you remember that after the flood, this is a good one to teach the kids. Go back and find that in the Tutu book. Okay? After the flood, Noah's descendants multiply, and they spread out to form various nations. And at that time, there was only one spoken language all through the known whole earth. And some enterprising descendants of Noah, one day they decide to puff themselves up with pride by creating a tower that connects them to heaven. That's the plan, anyway. But what happens to this endeavor? Remember? God knocks it down. God rejects this initiative. He topples the bricks into a mound of rubble. He scatters the people across the face of the earth, and he confuses the one language into many. And did you know that the early church fathers, and probably the early church mothers like Lydia too, connected the dots between what happened at the Tower of Babel and what happens on the birthday of the church at Pentecost in Jerusalem? They made a connection. Did you make that connection too? Did you automatically go back to the flood and Noah and the Tower of Babel? I don't think so, probably. But listen to this. I didn't write this, but I love this. At Babel, the one language was confused. In Jerusalem, the many languages became comprehensible. At Babel, the people were scattered. In Jerusalem, every nation comes together. At Babel, earth tried building its way to heaven. In Jerusalem, heaven reaches down to earth. At Babel, the human ego was condemned. In Jerusalem, the human spirit is renewed. At Babel, we saw divine frustration. In Jerusalem, we witness divine delight. At Babel, we look into a mirror at Pentecost, and then at Pentecost, we gaze through a window. A window that reveals a glimpse of heaven on earth. We're reminded also, I think, of John's vision of heaven as recorded in the book of Revelation, when people of every tribe and tongue are gathered around the throne. Pentecost foreshadows that vision of heaven. People with their tears washed off. People with their various colors and their cultures and their languages retained and respected. God is excited about who we are in all our diversity and variety as God created us to be. So differences are not to be regarded as barriers. The descendants of Noah must be dispersed so that there's a chance they may grow into God's rainbow people. So Pentecost texts are great for this day in Poughkeepsie, the first day that we've ever had a pride parade. Building the Tower of Babel required, think about it, a coordinated, centrally administered effort, right? They had to plan for it. They had to get the bricks there. They had to get the laborers. They had to have a schedule. They had to have a budget. But at Pentecost, we find the antithesis of a coordinated, centrally administered effort. I think in churches, we try to do what they did when they were building the tower. Right? Got to get it all organized. Got to make sure the budget numbers all add up. Got to make sure we got a schedule. We got the right workers on the right day. Pentecost is a little different from that. Birthing is sort of like that. It's messy. I think Shirley and Emily could attest to that since it's in recent memory. And the birth of the church was messy too. Messed up, confused followers, scared out of their wits, waiting and waiting and wondering and worried and at the mercy of what was coming next. And they didn't know what it was. They just were told to go and wait. They were waiting for God's Holy Spirit, but they forgot that. Jesus had told them that Spirit would be coming and they'd be fine. And then all hell breaks loose. Complete chaos. A wind like the roar of a hurricane blows in on those followers, those terrified followers holed up in Jerusalem. And flames of fire suddenly appear and land on them. Should they run for their lives? Should they just go with it? What in heaven's name is going on with all these languages they suddenly can understand and speak? These are fishermen. And they're speaking to strangers from all over the world fluently in their own languages. And what in the world has gotten into Peter? I always look at you. The defeated, humiliated one suddenly starts speaking, and by the time he's finished, all the rest of them, men and women and old and young and slave and free, after they have all connected meaningfully with strangers from all over the world, guess what? The church explodes. Over 3,000 are baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit on that one day. So they go from being huddled in fear in a room to being out on the streets. And pretty soon, 3,000 are following Jesus. Ever since Pentecost, the church has been on the move. Out they went, those timid disciples, boldly spreading the good news all across the known world. Thomas got to India. He also got to China. I've seen it written in an ancient stone in the ancient city of Sion, the Nestorian cross. Babel was all about mission. Only it was about human mission. An attempt at showing God what humankind was all about. Pentecost is all about God's mission, which keeps on keeping on and keeps on surprising us. One initiative was sort of neat and tidy, and the other is messy as well, giving birth to something that God dreamed up, where success is measured not in dollars and cents, in power and privilege, but in how well we do with seeking out the least and the lost and then doing something about it. Carol always echoes in my head. When we start having budget discussions and development discussions, after everybody's said what they're worried about, Carol generally says one thing, and that is, I'm not so worried about that. Somehow, God always provides, and the people of First Lutheran step up. The Holy Spirit blows in upon us here at First Lutheran with regularity. It's messy. The way we do church is messy here. It's not like building the Tower of Babel. Let's face it, our pastor is a woman, and she's not even ELCA. She sounds like a Lutheran. She preaches like a Lutheran. She knows the hymns of our tribe. But she's only on loan to us. From the United Church of Christ, that kind of really, you know, different denomination over there. Imagine that. Messy, messy. 7 years ago, we had 45 Catherine Street on the market. We could have been done with it, not messing around, demolishing rooms that are falling apart and doing endless repairs. We could have had some dollars in the bank instead of juggling deficit budgets. But if we had sold Wetzel Hall, we wouldn't have embarked on such an amazing partnership with Habitat for Humanity of Dutchess County. We wouldn't be making such a difference in the quality of life for our neighbors in North Poughkeepsie. It's messy. It's always messy. 7 years ago, I think we thought we were happy being Lutherans, right? Singing our Bach, singing our Lutheran hymns. But these days, we've sort of gotten used to hosting unity services and Easter vigils and coming together with all those people north and south that do bells and smells at St. Paul's. We've even reconciled with St. John's. Imagine that. See what the Holy Spirit can do? It's messy. But the Spirit works through that mess. We've even had a Roman Catholic priest in this pulpit. We've studied Torah with a Jewish rabbi. We even had the words of institution in Mandarin. And then we served communion out of German communion ware. It's strange. And Shirley keeps on gardening. The garden keeps growing, but every couple of years someone comes along who decides to rip off her bird feeders and her bird baths and anything else she's put out there that's decorative. And then just as inexplicably, someone else strolls by to say that they have really cherished that garden over the years. And by the way, would it be okay if they came and donated some bird feeders and some bird baths and some decorative items to enjoy some more in the garden? It's messy, this business of letting the Holy Spirit lead us. Because Pentecost undermines order and control and procedures and guidelines and strategic planning. When the winds of the Holy Spirit begin to blow and the red tongues of fire begin disturbing our status quo, we end up, well, We end up with African American independent Pentecostal congregations sharing our space. The Church of New Deliverance, could our founders have ever imagined the Reverend Ruby and her flock would become part of our sauerbraten dinners? When the winds of the Holy Spirit begin to blow and those red tongues of fire descend to hover over each and every one of us, we are called to be patient in confusion. And we are called to break out instead of reining in. And we realize we don't have to get a grip on the messiness. We don't have to get a grip on it. But we decide we will never, ever forgive that person that wounded us so deeply. And then one day, inexplicably, feel called to do just that. We know the winds of the Holy Spirit have just blown by us and transformed us. As Jesus ascends, the Holy Spirit descends to abide with us, to be our guide through the holy messiness we call everyday living. John writes, "This is the Spirit of truth, whom the Father will send in Jesus' name to teach you everything and to remind you of all that I have said to you." You know, up until 10 years ago this year, and I mention it because we're in the anniversary year, the 10th year, the ELCA was in a mess around the question of human sexuality. Remember that time? Went on and on and on for 20 years, I know, because I was waiting for them to get it together. It isn't lost on me that later today, some of us are going to be proudly walking in the first ever Poughkeepsie Pride Parade with the ELCA's blessing. When the Spirit of God blows through, fear is blown off course. And God sends us God's peace in its place. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. What will the future hold for this congregation? We're spending this year kind of looking at that question. Only God knows for sure what our future is. And it might feel a little messy for those of us that like to control things. Because sometimes God's ways are very, very messy. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Happy birthday, church. Happy birthday, church. Amen.